Welcome to Breaker Culture Weekly. The guys from BreakerCulture.com help pull back the curtains and give you insight into the hobby. Sit back and enjoy interviews, product breakdowns, and hobby analysis so you can get your edge in the marketplace. And now, to the show.
Hey, what's going on, folks? This is Ty from Breaker Culture, proud members of the BenchClear Media Network. And today's episode number 98, I have Shinny Pellin back on the show, and we talk through a lot of the things that we're both frustrated with. We're talking through really what's going on with the retail market right now, and really what solutions do we truly have to fixing the retail market. I know, like, across social media, across the forums, like, all you see is the frustrations of people not being able to get product. And so we talk about that, and Shinny's a great person to have on for that. He has great insight. We also break down a little bit of the new eBay managed payments switchover that a lot of us are going through. And we give both of our quick feedback on that. And we, of course, touch on all things NBA, some products. We talk about Chronicles. We talk about Topps Chrome, a little bit about archives and everything in between. Just a great time chatting with Shinny. So for those that don't know, we are also doing this on YouTube simultaneously. All you have to do is click the link in the show notes and watch the YouTube version. You can see our pretty little faces, and you can see all the things that we're clicking on and all that fun stuff, just to add a different element to the podcast. So if you like to watch the podcast, the video cast, or whatever you want to call it, it is on YouTube. So just click the link and go subscribe to us on the BenchClear channel. Other than that, I just want to say one more time, go check out StarStock.com. We are proud to be sponsors for StarStock.com. We, all of us across the network, have been using StarStock to some degree. I've been sending in lots of cards, been buying and selling there. And I know Jeff has been doing the same. Mike's been dabbling in it. And we got some other folks trying some things. So go check it out. StarStock.com. Tell Scott and that team that Breaker Culture sent you. And I think you're going to like everything that they have to offer in terms of buying and selling and creating truly a collectors-oriented marketplace, a fast-moving marketplace, which is great for this day and age in the sports car world. All right, on to the show. Enjoy. What's up, Shinny? How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. You like all these little gizmos and gadgets floating around now?
It's a new world.
Oh, they have to appease the YouTube crowd, so you have to put all these logos and junk everywhere.
I love it.
I'm telling you right now, I'm feeling insecure with your beard and what I got going here. This is you're making me feel really, really weak.
My COVID beard. Honestly, this is short. It was 3 times longer than this before I trimmed it, and it was only because I was starting to feel itchy and sweaty in this heat. I mean, it's been, I don't know, like you and KC, but in Pittsburgh, the heat has been, I wouldn't say unbearable, because I'm much, much, much more in favor of the warm weather than I am the cold. So I'm not going to complain about warm weather, but it definitely made my beard sweaty and itchy, so I trimmed it a bit.
Yeah. What is the temperatures up there, and what's an average kind of August day? Is it mid-90s, mid-80s?
Around here, it's been high 80s, low 90s, but high humidity. Mm. We had about a week going back a couple of weeks where the humidity was low and it was perfect. But otherwise, I take one of my dogs for a walk, and I'm sweating 3 steps into the walk.
Yeah. Which dog is that? Is it the dog that normally makes an appearance in one of our podcasts?
They both generally make an appearance at some point or another. But I take them both for walks separately. I can't do them together because they just get out of control. But I take them one after the other about 3 times a day. It's basically my exercise.
Nice. Nice. How is your ankle and stuff doing? You all healed up?
Not really. The constructed ankle, it's 100%. And that, you know, I had that surgery like 3 years ago now, but I think what you're asking about, you're probably referring to the fact that I was having ankle problems a few months ago, and I got an MRI, and I have to do that every year just to kind of time because my ankle is such that I know I'm going to have reconstructive surgery at some point. And it's kind of a, we're playing a timing game. You don't want to wait until arthritis has advanced to the point where I can no longer have that surgery, because if arthritis gets too advanced, I won't even have that option. And the only thing that will be left to me is to have my ankle fused, which is, I'm not 80, you know, I'm not getting, I don't want that. But you also want to put it off as long as you can. So it's realistically looking at another year, maybe 2 years of injections. And it's at some point after that, I'm going to have surgery on that ankle. That's my left ankle. But I it was seriously painful for a little while there. And I thought, uh-oh, it's happening sooner than later.
Really?
But luckily, we've avoided it for a little while longer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ultimately an elective thing. I can get it tomorrow if I wanted it. But that's 3-4 months of recovery. That's at least 2 months on my butt. I'm not 0% weight bearing for two months after that surgery. So, and then for another 2 months on a scooter, on one of those knee scooters. So I'm putting that off as long as I can.
I'd say so. I watched last week on vacation, we're chilling with the kids in the one of the Airbnbs, and we were watching the new RoboCop. I think you'd make a really good RoboCop.
I would love to. I already have one ankle that's already RoboCop.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're a tenth of the way there. Let's just finish it off.
Yeah. I love the original RoboCop. Is this a whole new like Redux version of it?
Yeah, they redid it probably 3 years ago, and it's pretty good, man. It's a good movie. Yeah, it's a little darker than the first one, but I think every movie they redo now is like they make it a dark undertone, you know. But
by the way, speaking of entertainment, my 13-year-old son Zev and I have been watching Money Heist. Have you been watching it? Have you already?
We're about halfway through season one. Yeah.
Okay, we just finished season two. It's good. I was really happy that we waited until they did the English dubbed version.
Agreed.
I'm okay reading subtitles, but my 13-year-old would have never gotten through it with me. But it's definitely more enjoyable to watch it with him.
Yeah.
And enjoyable to watch a 13-year-old enjoy content like that. I mean, there are parts that are a little more violent than I would like to expose him to, but who am I kidding? He's 13. He's seeing it on his own. You know,
well, we're watching the so there's this technology called VidAngel, and what you do is you run your Prime, your Netflix through it, and you could tell this software what to take out of the show.
Oh wow!
Take out all the cussing, or take out like all the sexual stuff. We'll take out usually all the sexual stuff, and usually the cussing and like the decent violence. But so that we have a lot of kids running around, it's not worth them
something. Sure.
But so I we're seeing like, it's funny because we're seeing there's a lot of cussing in that we've cut out some of the words. So there's like little pauses in between and they'll cut out to a scene.
Right. Yeah.
Which is fine. But it's intense, dude. It's an intense show.
It's intense. Anybody who's listening who hasn't taken a chance to gander at that one should give it at least a try. Some people aren't going to be able to get through the fact that it's in a foreign language. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But that aside, it's well done. It's well written.
It is. And actually the dubs are not that bad. Like it's pretty darn good.
I actually listened to a podcast. Oh, I'm going to forget the title of the podcast, but it was about Netflix, and you know, their business is unbelievable. And what they've done since they were just that CD rental company to now is out of this world.
Right.
One of the things they're engaged in currently, and we just described it, they had released Money Heist as a subtitled version, and only recently in the last couple months, then re-released it as a dubbed version.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing that with everything, not only to provide us as Americans or English speakers foreign language content in English, but they're also doing that for everything in English to the other countries that they're providing Netflix to around the world. And their goal is to be in every country that they can possibly be in.
Yeah.
And they describe that within their dubbing process, obviously it's not perfect and it never will be, but they're paying such close attention to the minutia, literally every second of every frame, to try their best to dub the English in such a way that it looks like when they're speaking for example, in Money Heist, as they're speaking Spanish, to dub the English in such a way that it looks as close as possible to the language, to the way they're moving their mouths to the English as possible. It's intense what they're doing. But as far as the viewer experience, if you didn't think about that, it wouldn't be a big deal. But knowing that now, you go watch something that's in a foreign language that's dubbed into English, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I see what they're trying to do here, and it's good.
That is interesting. Sorry, my son was walking in. We lost, lost our MacBook charger on our trip, and he was trying to come and take mine. Come on, man. last plug for Netflix. I was getting ready to take a drink here of this Icelandic water, but we've been watching the Zac Efron Down to Earth.
Not familiar. Down to Earth.
It's so good. And Zac Efron travels, like 8 episodes, travels to different parts of the world and just like talks about like sustainable energy or like what's the truth about water.
And so, so it's a reality thing. It's like,
It's great. It's great, great, great. Like my wife, my kids, we've loved it. So Zac Efron, cool. Down to Earth. But now I'm drinking because of that episode 2. I'm drinking like real spring water, not like the Ozark.
Does it taste different? Tastes different than the Ozark water you're used to?
I don't know.
A little less sediment at the bottom?
Yeah. Well, so there's a sommelier, right? Like a sommelier, wine sommelier. There's a water sommelier somewhere in the only one in the United States. And it's a crazy episode, dude. I'm not going to rag on the dude because at first when I saw it, I was like, please. And then I watched it. Like, water. Oh, this is cool. This is really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, what are we here? What is this? Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah, right. Hey, look, but I'm sure this is actually pretty apropos for everybody listening because I don't know where everybody is in their current COVID experience, but I finished Netflix last week and I have to move on to something else. So I'm sure this advice is
check the box.
Good for people, you know? I mean, anything that others are recommending, I'm giving it a shot because I need the content. I mean, I'm busy, I'm working, but if I'm here 24/7, you know, I need more content to get excited about.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world.
It is. It is a crazy world. Maybe at the end I can show a couple books that I'm reading. That sounds weird. I'm reading books again. Who does that?
I actually did start a book and that it's a very good one, a very cerebral one, and I'll share it with you as well. I think anybody who would be willing to take a gander at this one would get a lot from it. So we'll leave that to later.
Let's leave that for the end before we lose the whole audience. All right.
So, exactly.
Couple things. First off, let's talk a little bit about some releases. You're pretty tuned into the release world. You kind of know kind of what would be coming out. Obviously things have changed with scheduling, but what are you kind of excited about? I'm guessing Chronicles basketball. You're pretty excited about. Are you getting your hands on any? What's up with that?
Yeah, you know, I've been extremely fortunate with Chronicles basketball. You and I started talking Chronicles a few years back.
Yeah.
And actually, we started talking Chronicles when it was just a baseball release. And even though it had little to no value, it was just such a fun rip. And I would say the same applies. It's never changed. The value is lower than just about any other basketball retail release. Maybe more so than hoops. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's so fun when you open a pack and you see 5-6 different products.
So fun.
It's just fun. You know, so if the value isn't what you would get out of a Prism or Optic, and it's never going to come close to those two products, it's mitigated by the fun factor, in my opinion. If you're the kind of person that is so hyper-focused on the value in the resale, you might find that you're going to be a bit frustrated with Chronicles. But for me, it's not that. I've been extremely fortunate. Just timing wise, I'm not willing to go to Target and Walmart and wait in these lines of 10 plus guys and get my one blaster. I'm just not willing. So it's really more a matter of at this point, if I need to go to a Target or a Walmart because my family needs some groceries and I just happen to get lucky. Now I know what time to go generally, and maybe my luck is a little bit greater than somebody just randomly shooting at the hip. But I've gotten lucky, but the most luck I've had, if you will, is I was on vacation all of last week and I went to a Target by where we had an Airbnb on Lake Erie.
Okay.
Randomly just ran in there in the morning before the family woke up, and the Excel guy had just left the shelves completely stocked of everything.
Oh my goodness.
And when I say there was no one else in sight that was interested in cards, I mean, there were maybe only three or four people in the store as a whole. So I just super lucked out in that respect. And I kept a lot of it sealed, to be honest with you, because I had already opened a little bit.
Okay.
And I already got a bunch of Zion and John, the guys that I'm interested in getting, like Tyler Hero and whatever. We can name a bunch of people, but the bottom line is I've left a lot sealed because I was not disciplined enough to do that with any of the Prism or Optic of last year or this year between Luka and Zion crazes.
Oh, for sure.
And I just wanted to have something sealed left from these 2 years of NBA hobby craziness. So who knows how disciplined I'll be to keep it sealed for how long. But right now I've got a couple, two of all SKUs, two megas, two blasters, two hangers, and two packs. The packs aren't going to stay sealed. I'm going to rip those. I know it, but
I'm going to get
and blasters
over under 45 days. I'll take the under.
That's the smart money. There's no question about it. I've never been disciplined enough to keep anything sealed. I don't have anything else sealed except for this right now. So you're definitely taking the smart bet.
I feel like with sealed, at least in my opinion, like the only way I've been able to do it until these days where it's just like, it's stupid not to keep it sealed is I've had to keep it at like my parents' house or a different house away from me.
Interesting.
Because the problem is, right, you go watch something on YouTube and you're like, oh my gosh, that product looks great. And you only see the good stuff on the YouTube channel. And you're like, okay, I got to go open my stuff. And it never works.
No, it's you're. I should probably give it to my wife or even give it to my sister who lives a couple blocks away and just say, hey, hide this somewhere in your house and just don't let me know about it. And if I ask for it, just deny me.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I'm going to rip it. I know I will.
Well, I mean, you see the prices on Blowout, right? And it's like, I mean, come on. They're selling blasters for $85. A hobby case is $10,000.
Unreal.
$10,000. Unreal. Get out of here. Fat Pat box. Well, that's last year's for $1,600. But I mean, that's a Fat Pat box. You could have, you grab that for $120 basically at Walmart.
Yeah, right.
That's up 15x.
Those are prices I will never even consider. It won't ever happen for me.
Absolutely not.
And I'm not begrudging anybody who does. I may judge it a little bit in my head and I just won't say it out loud, but that's just me.
So, okay. I guess real quick, let's talk about the state of retail here in a second, but have you gotten any Topps Chrome baseball?
A little bit, but I prioritize basketball over baseball. So in the circumstances where I've had a chance to buy Chronicles, I'll buy that first and maybe get a couple blasters, couple packs, whatever, but a little bit. I even got a couple of blasters of Archives last week when I got this Chronicles, but not too much.
Okay. I haven't seen much Archives, but I will just make one comment on Chrome. I feel like Chrome has had somewhat of the luxury of basketball stealing the spotlight. I think this year's Topps Chrome could go down as maybe the best Topps Chrome we have in the next 5-10 years.
Explain.
I mean, look at the class. Look at the class of rookies you have. And again, I get it. Look, base flagship is always going to out-duel Chrome. But let's face it. Chrome's always got staying power. The parallels are just sweet. You got variations. And you got Luis Robert, Bo Bichette, Gavin Lux. Kyle Lewis is going to win Rookie of the Year all of a sudden.
Right.
Yordan Alvarez. And you got second-year rookie cup cards of Fernando Tatis. It's like, this is an amazing class. I think it's one of those where we're going to look back next year and be like, oh, I could have grabbed this stuff. Are you serious?
Let me ask you something, though. I was looking back at some old Chrome to pull some stuff to sell, and I'm thinking about the class. Was it 18?
Okay.
Kleiber, Andujar.
Yep.
Devers, Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that 18?
Yeah.
Would 18 still be a better class ultimately? Not to say that this year's – I'm not trying to disparage this year's class at all. But it just goes to show you how pretty
18 is.
We're talking about basketball being so solid for a few years in a row. Baseball is no slouch. It's actually right there with it.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, and I think that is a good question in terms of this the secondary market for update. I don't know the Chrome price. I'm looking right now as we're talking. Yeah, I mean, you can grab a hobby box on the secondary market. So this is what dealers are paying for, $270 a box.
This is of this year's Chrome?
$3,000 a case for hobby Chrome. This is 2018.
18, okay.
Versus going right now, and you can go grab a hobby, let's just say hobby box for $220 or $2,300 a case. So yeah, I think to your point, I mean, the upside probably is close to $3,000. So another $700 in the case.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
I guess it is priced relatively high, but still, I think this class is surprisingly good.
I agree. And everything is relatively high.
Yeah. Very true.
There's nothing that you're getting at SRP at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
By the way, in terms of releases, in discussing baseball, a product that I think has often been poo-pooed, and completely understandably why, but I imagine is going to fly off the shelves like everything else, is Target's exclusive Topps Fires apparently hitting shelves this week.
Okay.
I kind of knew that would be your reaction, but like I mean, I don't have to say it. I didn't poo-poo anything. To the extent that I'll get lucky, I'll go grab some. I've always enjoyed those. I mean, I've said it since our very first episode talking about Diamond Kings or Court Kings or any of these artistic type of things. I like that kind of stuff, but it's probably going to be near impossible to get like everything else is, like I already said, but that is apparently maybe even already on shelves in some circumstances.
Yeah. We talk about this every year, because every year we're like, why didn't this do better? Because you and I will call each other and be like, hey man, we got these collector's boxes here on the Target shelf. There's eight of them. I grab them all for $80 each. And every year I get sucked into it. And look, Tyson Beck, right? He's the artist. I mean,
I like him.
Incredible. I love the guy's art. But if they can have resale value this year, I'll be, I guess, somewhat surprised. But if they can't figure out a way to have some sort of resale value in this environment, Topps Fire cannot last.
There's no doubt it'll have resale value this year, but it's this year. It's such an anomaly year.
Yeah.
There's never been value in it in years past. Literally. I mean, to be honest, if you look, even I went back and searched Old Fire and grabbed a bunch of Tatis out of it. And even that isn't going for much. It's a couple of dollars.
Yeah.
It barely even covers what I spent when I got that sealed a couple years, last year, whatever it was.
Right.
So it's not a good buy, but when it's potentially the only thing you're going to find, it's a great buy in that respect.
Okay, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. And look, as a collector, it's such a fun open.
It is.
Fun rip. I enjoy it. I absolutely enjoy it. What is the? I'm trying to think of what is the black version called? Gosh, dang it! I want to say charcoal. I love searching for the blacks because they're so hard to find.
Remember. Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know. I don't think I ever pulled one. But I mean, it means that around the corner, Walmart's going to have their exclusive gallery coming out. Same kind of thing. Bowman Platinum, not much different. All these products have little to no real value and potentially will have some, not even potentially, you know, it's going to have some value because of the way the market is right now.
Yeah.
So in that case, it's a buy, but you're not even going to be able to get your hands on it unless you're Johnny on the spot. So just like everything, it's just a reality.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
I will say this. Those products, Fire, Gallery, Bowman Platinum, anything that's Walmart or Target retail exclusive type products that generally don't have value as they have not in the past, I think it'll be more valuable to just resale as a sealed product.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because I think what you're seeing is because wax is so hard to get, singles prices go up because there's not as many circulating. So when you do rip, and if you're into grading, which I am, of course, right? And you're not as much into grading, but when you're into grading, like you can do pretty well. But yeah, I agree. It's so easy to walk. That's why this is a great transition. That's why there's seven guys camping out in the card aisle these days to wait for the distributor to unload. Like,
it's nuts.
Can't, this is the big question. Can the manufacturers, or should the manufacturers, save the current retail market?
I think you have to ask a few additional questions. If you're a manufacturer, are you asking yourself whether or not this is even a problem, A, for you, B, an anomaly of a situation because of the craziness of the market as it stands today? And will this be the case post-COVID, next season? If you're Topps or Panini, is it smart to make a knee-jerk reaction? And by the way, is it really even their problem to deal with? Isn't it a problem for the likes of Excel and Target and additionally Walmart? And I'm totally blanking on the name of the vendor that stocks sports cards for Walmart, but I think you understand my point.
Is that MJ?
Yeah, that's correct. MJ Holdings.
Yep.
So it's really, I would think it's really their problem, not Topps and Panini. As far as Topps and Panini are concerned, they sold that product long before it ever hit the shelf, and their job in the whole process is done. They're only concerned if they want to be a concerned citizen. And I respect that if they are concerned about it, but it's really not their problem. Now, if you're Walmart or Target, to what extent are you concerned that it's creating a problem in your stores? People are getting hot and hostile. And in some cases, we've heard of fist flying, of bribes being paid to these vendors. Yep. I mean, and if you hear a couple rumors here and there of that, you know it's happening everywhere.
Yep.
So those are problems for the likes of the stores that those things are happening in. And then also, for obviously, like I've already said, Excel and MJ Holdings. There's been a lot of conversation about this on the Discord channel. And I think a lot of jumping to conclusions that this inevitably changes the retail market. And it may be true. A, I don't see any proof of that. And B, if I'm a business owner, I don't like the state of affairs, but I'm not necessarily making a wholesale change in how I do business because of a circumstance that exists today.
Yeah.
I may make incremental small steps, which is what businesses generally do when they're facing problems. And I think some of those suggestions have been made on the Discord channel. I can't attribute them to anybody right now because I'm not remembering folks' names, but credit to the folks having this conversation in the Discord channel saying things like, put the cards behind glass, really police the policies that already exist, which are, these things are supposed to be limited to a certain number per customer. Don't let somebody walk in and buy it all. Especially when there are 10 guys waiting in line, when the guy's trying to stock the shelves. I mean, but what do you do ultimately? I think you make some small incremental steps, but there's no proof that these things are definitively happening other than the only proof I've seen are folks seeing signs that they're taking pictures of and sharing, like don't loiter around the card area.
Yep.
And this is limited to X number per customer. And we have seen that, especially at Targets, I'm not sure it's the case at Walmarts, that the receipts for cards are now printed with a statement that says non-refundable, which is great because many of us, including myself, on a couple of occasions have had the experience where they go buy something and open a Prism basketball pack and inside is, you know, something like opening day baseball. And that's pretty darn disappointing.
Yeah. All right. So a lot of points you made there. So a couple of things that stick out to me. One, I think you're right. Walmart and Target, this is ultimately them saying, is the hassle worth it to us, right? Do we want to deal with a Black Friday rush and frustration every single Wednesday and Friday when cards are put out? because that right. that's the vibe we're getting from the hobby right now, is that it's just, it's stupid. You got guys camping out at, right. you know, in aisles like that. For them, like Target and Walmart, they're not making more money. They're not marking it up more, right? They're still making their, you know, their 30-40% margin, and that's that. They're dealing with the hassle. Like for so once they pull the plug, I think that changes things quite a bit. But I'm thinking from a manufacturer's point of view, Tops, Panini, they could probably care less. In fact, they would probably be okay with not having to sell through that channel and making higher margin selling direct on their site or
doing establishing another channel. What you just said, I think, is something that's lost in this conversation, and it's such an important piece. If this channel goes away, the manufacturers can easily say either, hey, middlemen, we're just going to now push retail through you, and you can mark it up like you've done with all of hobby. And then the days of the $20 blaster evaporate overnight.
Yep.
That is scary. That will change my experience in the hobby completely.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably fair to say that there's a number of people that really enjoy the opportunity to get something in retail, even though it's different from the hobby product and there's a lot of hobby exclusive content that you'll never have access to. You're still getting the opportunity to buy it at SRP
yep.
relative to hobby that's 5, 10, 15X, and you're just priced out. So if that happens, I think it's a very sad state of affairs and will change the hobby experience for a lot of people, myself included.
What would you think about putting retail product in the hands of hobby shops again?
My knee jerk is to say that they're going to mark it up like a middleman would.
Mm-hmm.
And I have zero proof that they wouldn't, only because I've seen retail on the shelves of in hobby stores. They're sending people to Targets and Walmarts and grabbing it up and bringing it back to the store and just charging 2-3X.
Yeah.
I already see it. So I wouldn't trust for a second, and this is not to disparage a single hobby store operator. They're in it to make money.
Yeah.
I get it. But they would mark it up like they do everything else in a heartbeat. So I as we were talking about this, I'm thinking to myself, if it's not Target or Walmart, where does it go? What's the channel to keep retail accessible at an SRP or at least close to SRP? And honestly, I don't know off the top. I don't know where they would go. I mean, could they go to dollar stores? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question. But I mean, to your point, like if it is being sold through a channel, let's just say panini.com, paniniamerica.com, or whatever, tops.com, I think you could potentially see more of a print on demand, which is what retail is supposed to be. Like for instance, Tops MLS, right? They have this Tops MLS product that's going to be out for a month. Yeah. They're printing on demand. Like we interviewed the vice president over there. Like if they started to do that with products, you would see the market correct itself organically the right way.
Right.
Hey, you want to order 50 cases of it? Well, you're going to dilute the product, but go ahead. Right.
Right. Right. And then as a consumer, you just have to recognize that if you buy any at all, it's already going to be diluted far more than it ever has been on retail shelves. And the more you buy, the more you're only diluting it for yourself and everybody else. It seems in a quick conversation, the only alternative route for making it in such a way that it's still accessible. I just can't think of any other way. Now, historically, we've heard of the horror stories of first off the line and blockchain stuff with websites going down or people using bots and stuff like that. There's a way to figure that out. There's no reason why Tops or Panini as a business couldn't figure that out. But even though it wouldn't evaporate and become nothing like hobby overnight, and it would still have some accessibility to it, it would still change it. It would still change it in such a way that the current state of retail experience would go away.
Yep.
And when I say current state, by the way, I'm talking about not the craziness in the stores for a moment. I'm referring more so to the accessibility of the price of retail. the craziness of the stores is a relatively new phenomenon over in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, right. And I think that is important too, right? Let's put things in context here. If you look at this over the course of the last decade, right, we're looking at a 9-month period, which the whole world has been transformed. I think everyone needs to take a step back, and manufacturers and stores included, probably not overreact here, because it's going to reset itself. It just is.
Yeah.
It's going to reset itself.
You said it well. It's pretty much a 9-month thing. It does go back a little bit more in the sense that specifically around products like Prizm basketball or Bowman mega boxes, things would get nuts for those particular products. And it was literally between 2 and 4 products a year. It is a very new and unique and recent phenomenon that it's literally week after week for everything that is put on these shelves.
Yeah.
So I do think there will be a rebound effect at some point. I just hope it's sooner than later, so that knee jerk and the kind of decisions that are made in dramatic times like these aren't made in such a way that it completely shakes it all up and changes it for good in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause I think you're right. Like this is actually all of the stuff you see, like, although it's kind of painted as really horrible and there's lines out, like, this is the type of exposure that the manufacturers love. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. 7-8 grown men sitting in their lawn chairs in an aisle waiting for cars. Like, okay. Like, increase print run.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because one of the other things I was thinking about as you just spoke, this is the kind of information and the kind of excitement around the hobby that some use as evidence.
Yeah.
That the sky is the limit and that we're nowhere close to the top of where this hobby can go. And I'm not a prophet, and I can't possibly tell you where the top is, but I'm not waiting much longer. And in fact, I'm not waiting at all for the top. I'm already doing things to divest in many, many ways and capitalize on where the market is. If I lose a little bit because I'm selling too close or too early to where the top is, then fine. I'm okay with that, because I'm not a doomsday. I'm not a sky is falling kind of guy. I don't think we're going to lose our hobby, guys. I'm not saying that at all, but I do think it's getting beyond the point of realistic anymore.
Yep.
When things are selling for what they're selling for, it's just out of control. But
it is.
I'm going to take it and I'm going to capitalize. And I'm not going to look back and say, oh, I sold that to Tees too soon. I missed out on an extra 30, 40, 50 bucks. I'm okay with that. I truly am okay with that.
Yep. So let me show you two quick things. I shared this with the Patreon group a couple days ago. So this is a couple days old, but I want you to see it and you can react to it really quickly. So for those listening on the podcast, you can click the YouTube link in the show notes to watch the visuals. So this is, let me see if you can see that. All right. So that is weekly pricing of basketball cards, hobby boxes.
Okay.
So you can see, I just got it back through June, right? So in June, you can see the price increases. Prizm has gone from $1,100 to $2,300. Essentially every product, right? Select from 680 to 1500. Impeccables kind of hung tight. Mosaic 630 to 1050. Donruss to 600 to 1100. Like, all of these, you're like, wait a second, this is middle of pandemic to now, and you're seeing essentially, so check this out, I'll show you something really crazy. So this is from June 1st. Mind-blowing to see these price increases. So
I just don't know who can afford this stuff.
Who can afford it? Right. So here's the price increases since June 1st.
Prism's up 131%, Select 112%, Mosaic 72%, Certified 54%, all the way down the line to Impeccable. You know, 15 releases down, Impeccable's up 15% since June. Like,
I mean, when you see things like Hoops up 35%, some of these products, it doesn't make sense. It
doesn't make sense.
They're at least, some of them are good products, but some of these products are downright
not good.
They're just not good products. Sorry.
How crazy is that?
It's nuts.
I mean, I just don't. So here's the counter to that. So here's one more thing I'll show you. And again, for those that are listening on the podcast, you can pop in and check this in the YouTube channel. This is another element of the report we put together, and it looks at a couple things. So I'll show you this here. All right. So you're looking at this 120 days moving averages. So you can see daily combined wax sales. So I look at all of wax sales across eBay and I trend it. So you can see the trending line. We're dipping pretty significantly below the average over the last 2 weeks.
I can't see your key. Blue, yellow, and red refers to what?
So blue is daily combined sales.
Okay.
See, it's trending up. And a lot of that has to do with products coming out, right? Product comes out, the right. Overall spend is higher.
Right.
But you can see a product releases. And all of a sudden, product releases here. But the last 2 weeks, not so good. Then you look at daily volume. We look at the number of hobby boxes sold on eBay across 2019-20 basketball. And here we go again, another decent dip below the trend line, which is kind of funny to me. This is the release of, I want to say this is Mosaic right here in the middle. And basically since Mosaic, the hobby can't get back to buying the number of boxes they've been buying per day. And then the bottom line here, again, below the trend line is the average spend per box. So over the last 3 weeks, the average spend per box has dropped below the 4 month average. So are we peaking? Maybe. Are we finding that basketball is kind of nearing the end of its rope for the season and people are kind of moving into baseball? Maybe. But
I also just wonder, is the inventory drying up? I mean, a lot of the sales has to be a recycling of sealed wax. And at some point, somebody's either ripping or holding.
Yep.
It's so hard to understand that. I just don't understand who can afford that.
Agreed.
Especially to rip it. It's one thing if you're going to try to, if you think you're in the middle of the cycle.
Yep.
And you want to hold for a month and resell for a profit, or hold for several years because you think either Luka or Zion, given the year you're buying,
yeah,
or Ja for that matter, regardless, fine. But that is also a product taken out of the market, which also kind of explains the dip below the trend, because there's just nothing. Once that happens, if that happens enough, it has to go below the trend line.
Yeah.
But.
Yep. So there's one easy way to measure that. And what I do is I look at when I run this report of sold data, I run the exact same time frame to see the number of active listings for hobby boxes.
Ah, okay.
And it's actually higher.
Wow. Than a month
ago. So inventory's up. Again, that's a very macro point of view. You could go into individual products and probably see drops, but in terms of number of sealed hobby box listings, it's actually higher.
Huh.
So again, something to think about. I mean, you and I have talked about it offline, but wax is a totally different game than buying singles. But in both cases, like right now, you're buying with a lot of volatility and probably close to peak prices. End of a season too. Like it's just, you got to be careful. But that's not the point of this conversation.
Well, I think it applies to everything right now because the pricing on everything is so astronomical that if you're excited about any given player and you're willing to buy at the top of the market, you better be really confident in what you're doing. Either that your read on that player is spot on, or that your read on how you're going to flip that card and turn a profit is spot on, because it is, prices are nuts. I'm selling everything,
Seller's market.
Almost nothing I'm willing to hold right now.
Yeah, outside of my one or two PC guys, like.
But who's, are you holding Michael Porter Jr.? Maybe actually right now, it's back to a hold. But 2 weeks ago, you'd be crazy to hold his stuff.
Yeah, I am. I am holding my.
I know you love him. He's your guy, and I cannot begrudge you for that. But I sold a couple MPJ things, and I'll be able to buy them back from the guy who bought them from me at 60%, if not less.
Hey, man, calm down. Calm down. Michael Porter Jr. is about to go off tonight, and you're going to be mad you sold.
I hope he does. No,
I got more. I know you got more.
I do have more.
Oh, shoot. All right, so let's shift real quick to talk a little bit about just 5 minutes on the new eBay managed payment stuff.
Yeah.
Again, something you and I have talked about offline. What I've been dealing with it. I'm more of a fan than I was than the idea of it 6 months
ago. Please tell me why I should be a fan, because I'm at that point right now where I'm trying to understand it better and a little nervous about the things I don't like.
Yeah. So here's what I do like. I do like the fact that they are very good about getting my money to me.
Basically 24 hours, right?
Yeah. The next day it's like, hey, it's being sent to your bank, coming in. It pops in my bank, you know, 48 hours from payment, which I was worried about them being a holding company for my cash. I will say I'm probably less at risk than most sellers, because my biggest worry in any of this is the second someone disputes a sell, they lock your money up. Right. But I sell mostly only graded, and you don't get a lot of returns on graded. You get a lot of returns on raw. And so I'm shielded a little bit from that, but I've had literally for 45 days now, I've had literally not one problem with it.
So here's my biggest concern. It's really about managing my time.
Okay.
When everything was going to PayPal, I didn't have to divert my attention to a different channel to follow my money and be sure that I understood what was coming in, what was going out. Now that, even though it's just one more channel, that's one additional channel that I now have to pay closer attention to understand, where's all my money coming in? Has it all come in? When's it coming in? And it's just I'm sure I'll get used to it. It's not like it's five more channels and it increases my need for focus exponentially in that respect. But I'm not used to it yet.
What do you mean? You mean like in terms of you see the paid check on an eBay transaction, you know it's in your PayPal account type thing?
Exactly. So now I go to my PayPal account and it doesn't see add it. Up.
Like, okay, where's
so that? I got to go to my bank account and say, okay, am I sure it's there?
Okay.
And to this point, I have not dedicated a bank account to it. Clearly that has to happen tomorrow. I can't guarantee myself that it's going to happen tomorrow, but it has to happen very quickly because I can't afford to have a bank account where I can't just look at it and say, I know this is all eBay and not be confused by other monies coming in and out and confusing me.
Yeah.
So since it's only been a few days for me,
It's only been
two payouts that have gone into a bank account that I can't keep it in for confusion's sake. So in short order, I've just got to have a new bank account set up to be able to understand it very simply by just looking at it.
Well, you got to go offshore. I mean, obviously. You got to truly protect this investment, all your crazy profits you're making.
Right, right. I mean, look, to be honest with you, I got to keep this money from my wife.
No, you don't. Don't make me call Mrs. Pellet right now.
She now has access to these monies and I can't have that. She'll spend it.
We've had that conversation a lot. I know you're pretty straightforward with your wife. Right.
Yeah, I'm completely straightforward with her about it. And so far, it's not enough money that it makes a difference. But
yeah,
you made a point that is actually the entire reason why I need to keep a separate account and make sure I'm tracking everything. And that is because I am not the guy that focuses on selling graded. I do sell mostly raw.
Right.
And I have, as we speak, a couple of issues, one return and one other dispute. And it's not like it's so many more than I've dealt with in the past. I've generally had very good luck. I take care of my cards. But it's a factor. And when with as we've already discussed, with prices going up, I'm selling much higher dollar items at this point at a much regular clip. So if I have a dispute, then it's several hundred dollars potentially. Not as simple as saying, oh, that's only $15.
Yeah.
Keep the card. I'll send you the refund. I don't care. I don't even want it back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like that anymore. So
yeah,
I have to pay much closer attention. And if you're like me and you weren't as prepared for this managed payments thing,
yeah,
as Ty was, obviously, or you're like me and you sell more raw and not protected by selling more graded like Ty is, then you've got to pay closer attention and really make sure that you approach this wisely. You may be able to keep it in the same bank account that you do all of your banking in. I know I can't do it that way.
No, for sure. I can't do that either. Can't do it. I have my own separate one. As we talk raw and graded though, I think listeners would probably agree though. You're probably the more raw guy anyway. I'm a little bit more polished than graded.
I've never been accused of being a polished guy. Maybe my head. That's about it.
That looks pretty good, man. I've never touched my chin so much. Then, like, sitting there staring at you, I'm like, what am I rubbing? I have like a couple hairs here. Oh my gosh, funny. So funny. No, I think to sum all that up, I think I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm sure there's going to be issues, but until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to cautiously proceed as if this thing is going to actually work out. So,
let's back up for one. I have one more question for you about marriage payments.
Sure.
Why? What's eBay's benefit in all of this?
Well,
or what do they see as the benefit to us?
Huh. I wonder how I can get 2% more on our money overnight. Oh, we can be a holding company for money. I mean, that to me is the common one. Yeah. And I'm sure they're probably trying. I'm sure the street is probably trying to say, hey, look, you divested from PayPal. You need to separate the businesses, right? You're way too integrated because, I mean,
right.
You are. I'm sure there's got to be some of that happening, right? They got to divest the two. PayPal's growing like crazy. PayPal probably wants to get outside of the eBay only focus, right? If they want to grow the way they want to grow, like they have to stop being so integrated with eBay. I don't know. That those are my off the cuff thoughts, but it's more margin.
I don't want this to sound like a conspiracy theory on one hand. On the other hand, I kind of feel like it is. But when eBay has the opportunity to hold all of that money for just a 24-hour period, that in and of itself is accruing interest at a rate that's feeding – it's another channel for them.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about millions of, I don't know what their total 24-hour cycle is. But it's in multi tens of millions of dollars. It's not pay.
Oh, for sure.
So
your and I sells alone are near that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but you're right. I'm not financially savvy enough to know what they could do in a 24-hour period with accruing interest,
neither
buying back their stock, whatever they're doing. But like, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of capital to have sitting around.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny though, because that does spawn another thought, because I saw an email from eBay a couple of days ago about them doing, what's PayPal do, the working capital stuff, where like they can provide you working capital because of all your funds you get in PayPal. Now eBay is saying, well, we see how much money we're holding for you and how much sales you got. We're doing eBay working capital. For them, that just opened up another 7 to 10% margin-oriented business that they didn't have before.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's how they put capital to work.
You can't begrudge them for doing these things, but it does change your experience as a seller. As a buyer, it actually should improve the experience. So that I have to admire.
Yeah.
If they're going to make any buyer's experience better, it has to be seen as a good thing.
Agreed.
So.
Agreed. All right. So real quick, we're going to wrap this up with do something we used to do all the time, and that is we're going to respond to some quick headlines in ESPN.
Nice.
And let me bring ESPN up. We can actually show it. How about that? All right. Porzingis ruled out for game 5. Does Dallas have a chance? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they proved they have a chance.
They already did. I mean, I personally don't think they're going to win this series, but they certainly have proven they have a chance any given game. You can't argue with it.
What about Utah Denver tonight? What happens here? What's your take?
I hate to rule Denver out because they have so much talent, but they really have not come to play, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they haven't shown up. So even if they show up for a game, do I think they have a shot at the series? No.
Okay.
No.
Would you bet me all your Michael Porter Juniors that Denver wins this series?
What's in it for me? You put up your Donovan Mitchell?
Oh.
All my MPJ for all your Donovan Mitchell? Yes.
You would do that?
Yes.
I would do it too because I don't. I mean, I'm in the
you love Michael Porter, and I can't blame you for it. But my man, and I'm not even really a Mitchell lover. I think he's a great player. Dude started with 50 points in the playoffs.
I mean, dude, he is by far. I just mentioned this the other day, actually this morning. Donovan Mitchell is the best buy in basketball right now.
He probably is.
1,700 for PSA 10 silver or 700 for BGS 9.5 silver. Oh, give me some of that right now.
Or buy a bunch raw for so much less and grade it all and see what happens.
Exactly. All right.
I actually have not sold Mitchell for this reason. He's a hold for me.
Yeah. Why would you sell him now? He's going to make it to the second round.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Absolutely. All right. Cards, the Cardinals making Buda Baker. That's his name, right? Buda Baker?
Buda. Yeah.
Buda Baker, highest paid safety. Okay. I mean.
Okay.
Cool. Does it matter for the Cardinals?
I don't know why a team like the Cardinals is making a single player the highest paid anything.
Fair enough. All right. 23 preseason All-Americans not slated to play. That would be college football. What is your reaction to that?
Sad. And I'm not even a college football fan. I feel bad for these kids. Lifelong dream. Not for some of them, their careers end here. For some of them, they're trying to prove themselves to get to the next level. But for all of them, they're teenagers whose lives have just been stirred up. And it's nobody's fault and nobody can be blamed. And I just feel bad for the kids. That's all.
Yep. Agreed. All right. We're not talking about this assault bribery case. We're not talking about LeBron's take on this. And absolutely not. You're not doing it. Usain Bolt tests positive after mask-free birthday party. Even the COVID can catch Usain Bolt.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. I mean, okay. Here's the reality. If you understand bugs and immunology, and I'm not saying anything that some people don't already know, many people already know, but the reality is, unless you live in a bubble, you will be exposed at some point.
Yep.
Until we have herd immunity. And herd immunity is not going to happen without a vaccine. If you don't wear a mask and you go into a crowded public place, I mean,
you're probably going to get something. Yeah, exactly.
You. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of young people in the world that still feel invincible, and we've all been there. I can't blame them for it necessarily, because until something happens, it's hard to accept that as your reality.
Yep.
So as long as you're not going and standing by my senior citizen father and putting him at risk, it's on you.
Hmm.
Powerful words. Shanee Pellid.
I just care about keeping my dad safe.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I get it. And that's really what it's all about right now. It's keeping that generation safe.
Yeah.
Like you're doing this not for yourself. You're doing it for them. I 1,000,000,000% agree.
Yeah.
On that note, let's finish with the two books that we're reading. I'm going to grab my book right here.
I'm actually grabbing mine too. Give me 1 second.
Hope no one hacks that.
All right.
All right. What are you reading? What's the book you're starting?
Yuval Noah Harari, historian, sociologist. He wrote a book called Sapiens. Okay. You read it? Have you read it?
I've read pieces of it. It's pretty deep.
And it's the kind of book that is probably better read in pieces unless you could really commit to it. It is thick.
Yeah, it's a thick one.
So I'm actually almost done with this, A Brief History of Humankind, and I'm about to move on to his follow-up to Sapiens called Homo Deus, which is A Brief History of Tomorrow. This guy is brilliant.
Homo Deus, just so you know.
Okay.
Two homos, you and me.
He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. And a lot of what he talks about is what to expect with the convergence of the world getting smaller with technology and the pending AI influence on society, and what we have to do as a society to plan for that and make sure we don't make a lot of very bad potential mistakes that we could make with AI. And it's wildly interesting stuff. A lot of it is very scary, but that's the world in the future. Things are often scary unless we approach it the right way.
Yeah.
What are you reading? Some comic book?
that's so good. Look at that. You even got bench clerk coming through my title. I'm reading a book called...
What is that? How's that coming? Oh, I see. Okay.
The Emerald Mile. So we were in Colorado last week, and we go to Steamboat, and we're at the bookstore there we love. And I asked the lady, what book should I read right now? And she goes, you got to read The Emerald Mile. It's a story of the fastest ride through the heart of the Grand Canyon.
Huh.
And so it won a bunch of awards. So I'm going to be reading it this next month. So
fastest ride as in like on?
I think the rafting. Yeah, rafting.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man. It's amazing talking to you. I'm loving the video. I'm loving seeing you. It's great. That's
absolutely. By the way, what is this 98, 99?
Episode 98. You're coming back on for 100. You know that, right?
It's
you
and I do. I was wondering, is he going to leave me out of the big one? I mean, come on. I got to be there for the big one.
Oh, don't even act like I don't text you every day. Hey, man, where can I get some show?
I'm in. You got me. I'm in.
All right. Deal. Have a good week, man. It's good to see you.
Good talking, man.